We had a great time in Ethiopia. Man, it's like I'm on a motorcycle. This is cool. What's this? I don't need that. Go back to the other chair. No. I don't wear these to look cool. I could just see better with them. Anyway. It's a... Oh, no, what's a password? I'm just joking. C-O-N. The pastor had asked me to, what, that's the wrong password, what? Oh, it's not capitalized. I'm so sorry. This was made in America. Why won't it work? Isn't it amazing how they got those astronauts back from space? That's just kind of how they did that, man. Now they're saying it was all fake. I don't know how that happened, you know, how they would say it's fake. But the pastor had asked me to... They talk about some of the ministries that I just gotten back from Vietnam a few months ago. And then he wanted me to talk about places that I'd been. And I'm writing a book. And first of all, the book that I'm writing is, I'm not the hero of my own stories, one. And if I'm going to write about myself, I'd write about the failures. Not that I got in the pit. I've never taken drugs before, ever. And... But that, you know, I was chaplain of the Indy 500, Indianapolis 500, and I never had one convert in 18 years. That kind of failure. But if you're a chaplain of the NASCAR, when they won a NASCAR race, I just thank my Lord Jesus and Coors Bear, all in the same, you know, line. They thank God for everything. I kind of like that. But the Indy cars, man, alive. But... you know, and I would write about other people and the successes that they have. But the problem with this message is I've never had a message like this, and it's about what I've done. And I don't, people will tell you that, Lee and Ellen will tell you here, I don't talk about myself. I try not to. And I have friends here, Rick and Stuart and Beatrice, that I don't know if I'd be their close friend if I talked about myself, but there are other great people that I admire that you probably have never heard of. John William Carey is a man who started missions years ago. He stood at the banks of the Ganges, and God's word came to life through him, and he had a burden for missions from India, and he was a father of missions later. A lot of people have never heard of him. And then you've got John William Carey. You think of these great things that he'd done. And such great men. His safari to Africa. Livingston, John Livingston, he wrote. And he was a great hunter, and he wanted to... He believed in God, and he was from England, and he went over this hill, and he saw these villages, and then he saw just each village. It was close to 4 or 5 o'clock, and people were cooking, and the smokes that were coming up, and he thought of the smokes of the souls of the people that don't know the Lord, and the smokes of the souls that will burn with no hope, and they'll go to hell. And who's going to save these people? And here's this highly intelligent man. He goes back to England. And he's burdened for those people in Africa. Well, there's 55 countries in Africa. It's a huge continent. People today, you ask them, where are you from? I'm from Africa. Oh, really? What country? Africa. They don't know that it's a continent. A lot of times their ignorance is defined as their absence of knowledge, which should be there. They don't study geography. It's embarrassing when you look at education today. A lot of people don't know. They don't study. They're not taught. They're just passed. And you look at Morocco and Algeria and Tunisia and Libya and Egypt and all the way down from Eritrea. And you can go on and on and on to Seychelles and Mauritania. And you've got all these countries that go on, and 55 of them. When I go to sleep at night, I name them all. So what, people may say. They say there's 197 countries. I count 212 when I'm on an airplane. I write them down. I try to memorize them. So what? So you know that. Exercises your mind. So I wrote a song. John William Carey stood at the banks of the Ganges like the baptizing John. His work came to life. An army was born of missions to every tongue. Some called him a rebel. Some called him an outlaw. Some said he was out of his mind. From India, John was spreading God's word to lost souls in faraway land. His safari to Africa, Livingston wrote and told of the thousand fires, the smokes of the souls that will burn with no hope can be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Some called him a rebel, some called him an outlaw, some said he was out of his mind. Our Redeemer is preached under African skies. David's work will never go blind. Martin Luther on the steps of the church in Rome, they were shocked when he cried, "For by grace are you saved, and not of your works." Old Luther was shaking their minds. Some called him a rebel, some called him an outlaw, some said he was out of his mind. Religion had died, the Reformation began, God's church was spreading like fire. She grew up in China on a mission to the lost, a saint in a faraway land. In college she met her soulmate-to-be. Billy found his treasure from God. Mr. Graham preached the power of the cross. God's spirit burned right to their hearts. With redemption power in a world with no hope, Ruth's prayers were honored by God. Now Franklin Graham is preaching God's word in dangers no others would stand. Countries in battle, this warrior for peace, he keeps preaching like it's his last. They call him a rebel. They call him an outlaw. Maybe that's just what he is. Because millions of souls in heaven with God, these men, they honored the cross. That's a song. I got music to it. Problem is, I don't think anybody will really understand it. Maybe when I get to Martin Luther. I was 17 years old. I was invited by Campus Crusade for Christ to go to Berkeley. They wanted to evangelize the campus. It was May Day. May Day is when people all around the United States and around the world, they march. A lot of them burn flags in cities and communities. And I took my first flight on an airplane to San Francisco and was picked up by a friend in a VW. It said, "Jesus saves from hell" on the side. Trust God and scripture verses. And I went to Berkeley. Now I was kind of a country boy, lived in Newhall, California, Santa Clarita, 30 miles north of LA. It's a country town. And I went to a place that today when people march, you only have about four or five or six different parties. But a lot of you know, in the late 60s, you had Greenpeace, Black Magic, Black Panther, hippies, communists, SDS, Students for a Democratic Society, Nazi, PETA, anti-war, anti-God, anti-establishment, anti-government, anti-man, anti-woman, the gays, evil, vile, apostate, perversion, chicken hawk murders, people with just bad attitudes. I like that part. They just have bad attitudes, that's all. Haters of military, anti-police, free love, free sex, poets, tree lovers, I like trees, ACLU, Sierra Club. I like to hike. I go to Yosemite every year. Pro-socialism, pro-communism, Hell's Angels. I like their motorcycles. Flower Children, Peace and Freedom Party, Jews for Jesus. I like them. Christian World Liberation Front, friends of mine. I roomed with them while I was there. Tear gas going off and when I was there at Freedom Park. And Campus Crusade wanted to evangelize the city of Berkeley, especially the campus, the University of California at Berkeley. And I didn't have a gas mask. So when that was going on, I thought, well, my purpose here, I have a guitar on my back. We're going to have a meeting, and Billy Graham, I hear, is going to be in town the next day. And so I'm excited to hear him. And love to meet the man, but there's thousands of people there. And there's all kinds of things going on. Why I was able to get around some of these parties and listen to a lot of the liberal speakers is because I had a guitar on my back. And I had a cowboy hat on. So they thought I was kind of half a cool. And so I was able to go most places, and people left me alone. And when some of the trouble was going on, the police were around, I thought, you know, I'm kind of hungry. I walked down Telegraph Avenue, and I walked into a coffee shop. And there was about 70 people. It was jam-packed. And there was this guy in the corner on a stage, and he was playing guitar. And so I stood in the back, and waitress came up and said, we don't have a table, but you could stand. I said, no problem. Ordered a little sandwich and a cup of coffee. And when the guy was done, he saw me. He said, hey, I'm going on my break. Can you play that guitar? I said, I sure can. I don't usually say that, but I told him I could. I thought, this would be a chance to witness. He said, you got a transducer inside that guitar? I said, I sure do. He said, well, you could play one song. If you're good, you can maybe play two or three. I said, fine. I swished that coffee down like crazy and kind of burned my throat a little bit. And I took a bite of the sandwich and it had onions in it. I hated it. I hate onions. They're from hell. I just hate onions. Why in the world? Today, it's a conspiracy. They're trying to, you know, make you eat it. They put it in eggs and everything. It's the worst thing. Pretty soon, it'll be in ice creams. And you guys, I just hate it. And you know I'm right. Anyway, so I threw that sandwich away, and he was done, and I got up there quick, and these people are looking at me. Oh, he's got short hair. Well, he's got the cowboy hat on, you know. So I scratched out Foggy Mountain Breakdown, you know. It's a fast bluegrass song, and they really liked it. And the guys in the back, he's drinking coffee, do another one. And they really liked it. And then half of them stood, you know. And then I did another one. Crying, holding to the Lord. You know, played, you know, fast bluegrass song. Yeah, that's cool, you know. So after the third song, he said, one more, you know. So I just said, I just want you to know there's a God, he cares about you. Silent. Oh, no, they're going, you know. And Jesus Christ is not a religion, he's a relationship, and I'm nervous, you know. Amen. And I want you to know he cares about you, and that's why I'm here from Long Beach, California. And he gave me the talent, and I hope you come to know him. I want to see you in heaven and not hell. Quiet. And so I played a song, and when I was done, half of them clapped. And one guy, you know, gave me the high sign, middle finger thing. And I walked off, and the guy goes, well, I'm back. And he played, and he wasn't really good. But he was a good guy. Yeah, but it was, they kind of deserved him a little bit. But so I walk outside, and here's 20 Hell's Angels right on the, right there, you know. And I like motorcycles, you know, and I had a motorcycle at home and had them all my life. And so here's the vice president of the Hell's Angels Oakland. But he has a little sticker here. It says, win with God. So I'm going, this is something, win with God. Wow. there's an end. I could talk to this guy. So I've got to relate to this guy. How do I relate to him? I go, hey, that's a cool Harley, man. Wow. I bet it leaks oil. And he goes, yeah, when it stops leaking oil, you run out of oil. And I laughed. I go, I'm in, you know. Well, I said, well, you know, my last name's Agajanian. My uncle J.C. Agajanian, he has cars in Indianapolis, and he has the motorcycle races at Ascot Park in Gardena. He goes, yeah, I've been there. And so we're talking, you know. And I said, I was just wondering, that when with God, you must believe in God. And he's looking over my shoulder, staring over my shoulder. And it's kind of misty, you know, foggy, and it's a little mist coming down, you know, the lights. And looking at him, and it was really neat. His daughter comes up. Dad gets on the bike, beautiful little kid, you know, gets on the bike. Dad, can I get an ice cream, please? And he goes, where are you going to go get it? 20 Hells Angels. He's right here, the first guy. Just over there. Where? Just right over there. All right. He looked at the other guys. Keep an eye on her. Right. That's his daughter. I like that. That was cool. Cool dad, you know. All right. Love you, Dad. Can I get one more dollar for the day? Sure. Here. Here's a five. Give her a five. $5 more. And she goes, and I'm talking to him. He looks over my shoulder again. And then I look, Billy Graham's standing right here. He had this tan, these blue eyes. And I said, sir, would you like to continue? And he said, you're doing just fine. And Dr. Bill Bright was standing right next to him. He was the president of Campus Crusade for Christ. And they just changed their name to CORE or something, picking a name like that, like why? It's a great name, Campus Crusade for Christ. They changed it to, I don't know, CORE or some picking name. But there was Billy, and I go, wow. And so I looked at him. I turned around. I kept witnessing to him. And then his eyes went like that as Billy walked away. And I said, sir, thank you for your time, and I hope you really have a personal relationship with Christ. And I walked away, and I went back to my room, and it was pretty amazing. And I stopped at the corner and heard some commotion and looked on the street, and there was a girl dead in the middle of the street. And there was this guy with a top hat on playing a flute from the fifth story window. And people are like away from her, like she had a disease. And I walked over to her and I touched her neck, you know, felt her pulse. And I said, call an ambulance. And the guy stopped and said, I'm playing her funeral. And I said, stop playing that flute. I said, he said, she jumped. She felt like she was a bird. And there she was dead. I'm not used to that from Newhall. And she was on drugs. And I told the guy, if he keeps playing the flute, I was going to shove it down his throat. And he stopped playing it. And I'll never forget. I just knelt down like I was protecting her or something, you know. And finally, police came, paramedics came. And he said, she'll be okay. She's in our hands now. I said, I don't know her name, but I didn't see it happen, but guy up there said she jumped. He said, we see this all the time. And it was a strange way to end. 1974, I was playing a crusade for an evangelist who's an associate evangelist for Billy Graham, John Wesley White. I was in Modesto, California. And Cliff Barrels of the Billy Graham Association heard me, and I got a phone call. I was living in San Francisco at the time, and I was married, and he said that we'd like you to come to Lubbock, Texas, and to be at Billy's crusade and be a guest on a Friday night. And we'd like you to come a week early. We'd like you to play some colleges here. We're going to be at Texas Tech, right, Lee? At Texas Tech University. And Free Speech Platform, we'd like you to play there and some high schools. And then we'd like you to play Billy's Crusade. And I was in the office on a Thursday, and Franklin Graham came up to me, introduced himself, and he said, I heard you're a fast guitar player. And I said, well, I don't know. Johnny Cash started that rumor. I want to be a good guitar player. I don't know if I'm, you know, being fast is good. But I want to be a good guitar player. And so what if you're fast? You know, who cares? But I want to be, you know, a good guitar player. And so we became very good friends. We talked about Jeeps and four-wheel drives and guns and things and pickups. And we argued then about things. He's a 9mm guy. I'm a 45 auto guy. And he likes NATO, and I like 30-06s. He likes 308s, you know, we're different. He's from the South, and I'm from the Southern California. But we became best friends. We've talked on the phone every day since then. And I've done 45 crusades for Mr. Graham and probably over 300 for Franklin. And we've been places, people have said, what are the greatest places you've played? Well, I just shared it with you just 2 weeks ago was in Ethiopia. But playing the Tokyo Dome as a guitar player, the Japanese are really highly intelligent people in Japan. When you play guitar, they really will video you and they'll copy everything that you do. They have copied the engines that we've built, and they will build an engine like that even better, called the Lexus and called the Toyota. One of the greatest engines you can ever see is a Toyota pickup or any Toyota or any kind of Lexus made in Japan. You change the oil, the thing's going to go a million miles or more. And so being able to be with Billy there, being able to go to a prison with him, being able to be on a television special with him, it's just been an honor for me to do that, and getting to know him personally, going to Beirut and Cambodia and Jordan and different countries all over the world. I've been to 128 countries, most of them with the Billy Graham Organization, and I. Look, there's artists that sing better than I do, artists that perform better than I do. It's just grace that I'm here. Pastor Ken Ortiz is just amazing. It's almost like I'm a race driver, and the Ferrari team has asked me to drive for them in a race for Formula One. That's what it's like. You know, there's a zillion pastors that could take this job today and speak for Ken Ortiz, pastor, and they choose me. I mean, there's a zillion worship leaders and guitar players, and I'm honored to be here. get emotional. I can whip most guys my age, so if I want to cry, I will. I'm just joking. But being able to do that, I've gotten to know, first of all, I got to know Mrs. Graham very well. She invited me, when I first got to know the family, she invited me to North Carolina. She said, look, I want you to come in Asheville, North Carolina, and I want you to come and play in some of the prisons. And I have plans on you playing at Montreat, the city of Montreat where I live at the Anderson College. And I want you to come and play the jails in different places. I said, okay. And she said, well, the first day we're going to go to Asheville's jail. I said, all right. And so we're in the elevator. We go up to the top, and it's this room, and it's round like this, and there's cells all the way around. There's probably 40 cells, right? She said, I want you to play 10 minutes and speak 10 or 15 minutes. I said, no problem. And so she's holding her Bible, and I go in the middle, and she stands next to me, and I start to play, and she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to play for these people. She said, no, you're not. You're going to go to every cell and play for every cell 10 and then speak 10, 15 minutes. I said, Mrs. Graham, the cells are this close to each other. She said, I know. They have nothing else to do. I said, they're going to hate me after the third cell. She said, so? I was 2 hours there. And when I'd get to a cell, I heard it already. Please leave. Go to the next cell. I mean, that's how she was. Then she said, "We need to ponder and strategize here on a song. You need to be able to appeal to the non-believer. Do you have a song about bar stools or drinking or anything like that?" I said, you want me to do a song about, yeah, if you're going to maybe play at college or something, you got to do a song about drinking. I said, well, yeah, I know a song about that. Well, sing it to me. Well, it's called This Old Smoke-Filled Bar is Something I'm Not Used To. You know, my new home has a flashing neon sign. She goes, that's perfect. So we did it in the cell. She said, just do that, but do other Christian songs, but do that once. Maybe open with it to get their attention. I said, all right. Well, we were at a tea before Billy's Crusade there in Asheville, and I was going to play the crusade. And she said to me, play the Hallelujah Chorus, Dennis, but you need to do that song about the bar stool. I said, this is a tea representing Billy's crusade. I'm not going to sing that song at this tea. You got ladies here that are supporting the crusade. I'm not going to do that. She said, yes, you are. And she has a way of... That was the hardest song I'd ever done in my lifetime. And I did it, and the women were mad, and it was horrible. And I this song, it was just, she got her way. Well, slash forward several years, she's in the hospital. And Billy said, Ruth would like to see you. I said, okay. And she's laying there in the hospital, those blue eyes, you know. And everybody's in there. Oh, yeah, Ruth, we've been praying for you. Yeah, the pastor's over there, and the nurses are over there. Yeah. And she goes, Dennis, play the Hallelujah Chorus for me. Yeah. And she does this. And I'm going, no. No, please, I beg of you. She whispers, do this, old smoke filled. Only if you introduce the song. She says, no, do it now. That's how she was. I did it, and they were mad at me, and I was just, oh, get me on the plane back to San Diego. Oh, so I'm sharing my heart with you. That's what I had to go through. You know, that's some of the stuff that you go through. But anyway, well, look, we have a Savior that forgives sin. Hebrews 10:17. That's what we would preach. That's what we would tell people, that there's a God that's forgiving. She would have fun with me. She would come up to me and she'd say, I knew you were close because I could smell you. You know, I mean, she was wild. She was an incredible lady. When I saw her one time, she said, I killed a rattlesnake. I said, you did with what? That big barbecue fork right there. I went and killed it. That's the kind of person Ruth Graham was. And she was tough as nails. And she wrote a book and mentioned me several times in it. But these are verses that Billy would use and she would use. And I remember she would talk about different verses that that on forgiveness. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Matthew 6:14 and 15. Luke 17:3-4. So watch yourself. If your brothers sin against you, rebuke them. But if they ask for forgiveness and repent, forgive them. That's what an evangelist would preach. And I remember this, a pastor quoting Christ. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and do not accept my justice. If I condemn you, blame me not. But we have a God that forgives. We have a God that forgets your sin. In Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 12. A God that will look at you and separate your sin as far as the east is from the west. When you look at the cross, you look at forgiveness. You look at light, you'll never see darkness. That when you die, you don't see darkness. You see light for eternity. And there's some of you here that you may question if you're really a saved Christian, that if you were to die, your last breath on earth will be your first breath in heaven. Do you know that? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Do you want to follow him? Will you surrender your life to him? You know, the greatest news that I have, there are stories of people that I meet. An incredible story of Lee and Ellen. That they were married and then they divorced and they remarried. What an incredible couple. First of all, they look like Adam and Eve before the fall. The most perfect looking couple in the world. And, you know, I've lost 25 pounds. And when they say, Dennis, you're looking good, it's like the greatest compliment a guy can get, especially from them. But what a testimony that I get to see where God uses people like them. And she's writing a book about it and how they minister to different people. They're here this morning. And how the Lord uses them and how the Lord can use you. If you could surrender your life to Christ. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and he'll forgive you of your sins. I'd like us all to bow our head and close our eyes right now. We ask you to close your eyes, not that you're closer to God. You're just not distracted. But you're alone, and I'd like you to surrender your life to Christ. This may be the closest you come to knowing Jesus Christ. The closest you'll ever come right now. I'd like you to repeat a prayer after me. You don't have to say it out loud. You could say it, God hears your heart. Just repeat the prayer after me, accepting Christ into your life and starting a whole new life for yourself, a whole new forgiveness, a God who forgives and forgets your sins and will throw your sins away as far as the east is from the west. It will completely delete your life and your whole past right now. And he'll come in and he'll live in your soul that will live for eternity. And your body will fade away, but that soul will live forever. It will take on a new body. I'd like you to say this prayer after me. Every person here, repeat this prayer after me, silently. Lord God, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. I accept Jesus Christ into my life right now. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Lord, thank you that I'm a Christian. Help me to be strong. Help me to continue walking in your light, Lord. Thank you for loving me and dying on that cross for me. Help me to share your love with others. In Jesus' strong name, with every head bowed and eyes closed,